Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Yay, it's Thursday night. It's 8 o'clock. I have been waiting for this show all week. I'm Golden Hawk, as the nice gentleman just said, and this is another reality show, and I want to thank everybody who's listening. You could be anywhere in the cosmos, and you chose to be here listening to my show, and I couldn't be more pleased about that. So thank you so much. We have a great show tonight. Before I get to my guest, I definitely want to share some, oh my God, energies. Okay, since the earthquake of last Tuesday, the hurricane of basically, you know, Saturday and Sunday, my dream state is kicking it into like really wild, expanded, clear consciousness. I mean, it is so wild that it's like I'm beginning to see, like, I was driving down the road yesterday coming home from the chambers, and there's several areas that are still out of power. In fact, that affected one of my nanny gigs this weekend. But there are several areas that are out of power. There's no light, so there's kind of like this buddy thing going on that's all light. You have to stop, you know, and let everybody kind of do a crisscross thing. Everybody gets a turn, and then you keep going. Well, there's this one road that, you know, I was watching ahead from, you know, about a tenth of a mile as I was coming up to it going, wow, nobody's stopping to let the side out. And I just took a deep breath and was like, Goldie, it's all good. Just get there when you get there. As soon as I got to the light, this big long line of cars just ended and this like huge space opened up, and I just put my blinker on and, you know, never lost stride, made the left turn, started driving some more. And I'll be honest with you, I'm like seeing this synchronicity. That is literally the way to describe it is I'm in the flow. I'm in the flow in like a constant. Now we're going to have a wonderful talk tonight about totems and animals, but I'll tell you, I'm in the woods yesterday. This incredible red-tailed hawk, I mean, this hawk was huge. She's flying through the woods. I always go with hers. It's just the way I prefer to see them. She's flying through the woods, and I'm watching her, like, navigate these trees and these down limbs. And clearly, I mean, she's doing it with a precision that is, like, profound. I actually found a video of a goshawk or a goshtail or I don't know what it's some other type. It wasn't a red-tailed hawk. I found a video on YouTube where they put a camera actually on the hawk, and it shows you how they're like going through the trees like a Jedi. I mean, that's exactly what came to my mind was, wow, they're like Jedis. And then the wisdom that came into me in that moment, I mean, it was almost like I noticed the precision of the navigation, and then the wisdom just flowed into me. That is the same wisdom I will navigate with when, you know, the proverbial shit starts to hit the fan on our planet, you know, because I know it's coming. You guys know it's coming. We all know it's coming. It's just a matter of, you know, kind of like this calm before the storm, even though, of course, we just had the storm. But it's like a false calm in the sense of it's like the tide is out before the tsunami hits. That's at least my feel of it. And I know there's several people on Facebook that that are sharing that feeling with me. So, you know, my awareness is just being heightened. I mean, first of all, I'm always glad to see my hawk, the hawk and me, obviously, Golden Hawk, the hawk. You know, we have a connection there. But the wisdom being shared, it's like it's precise. I mean, it was just precise, the way I drove up to that street and made a left. I mean, I was, like, conscious of it going, am I going to be able to turn? And then I immediately became conscious to go, relax, take a breath. You can do whatever you're going to have to do. Or, like, today, coming up to Scott's house, 222, right before I left Facebook, I was like, I posted that as being, this is a grace, this is the grace of life flowing through me. I'm driving up here, I see 222, and slowly but surely congestion starts, and all of a sudden I'm in a traffic jam. Now, I clearly have this peace flowing through me. I got my MP3 cranking. I mean, I can be comfortable doing anything, anywhere, because it's not my outer experience anymore. I am creating this from within, but once I saw the 222, it was like, oh, cool, I'm peace, I'm flowing. And then when we got past there was nobody in the car with me. When I got past the accident, I had a total sense of, like, the peace that I was flowing was affecting the gentleman who was standing outside his car because there was an accident, the other drivers that were frustrated because they were in a traffic jam. There were some people that this was close to a rest stop, so there were people walking. I mean, it was just this profundity of, like, wow, I am radiating a peace right now that is absolutely influencing this scene, this whole experience of everybody going through this. It was deep. It was awesome. It is amazing. So there is a lot of magic out there right now. We're definitely going to talk about that tonight as well, of everything connecting and, you know, there really is a level where once we surrender to that level and allow it to speak to us, holy moly, this is when we'll realize that we'll focus on the birthing aspects of the planet right now instead of the destructive aspects of the planet, because they're both happening simultaneously, and it's really our choice to decide which one to focus on. And listen, I get caught up in the destruction of it. I got warrior in me. Let's knock it down and start anew. But, you know, it's a simultaneous. It's not a first we destroy and then we start anew. They're happening side by side. So the subtle, the birthing is in the subtle. But holy shit, when you connect with it, it's extremely powerful in the subtle. Okay. I'm excited. Let's bring on Jennifer. Okay, so I have on tonight Jennifer Adele. She is the owner of Earth and Paw Totems. I heard in my head, you're such a schizo, Goldie. Jennifer is the owner of Earth and Paw Totems, and she provides a variety of nature symbology and animal totem readings for clients all over the world. She is also an active lecturer and educator for any naturalist groups and public education venues on the topics of cultural environment, symbology, and totems. This is going to be a great show. I am stoked to have you on the air. I found this lovely lady on Facebook. Welcome to the show, Jennifer Adele.
Oh, thank you very much. It's really exciting to be here.
I'm stoked. Yes, you're beautiful. I'm telling you, good feelings all week long about our show. Yeah, yeah.
It's very, very exciting to be here. And I was really enjoying the fact that you were speaking about the hawk and tying it to some modern-day symbols like the Jedi. I mean, pretty much people can identify with that, and it's a great way to kind of link that native spirit with something a little bit more modern that people can immediately latch on to. That was awesome.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, and you feel free. You bring in all the wisdom of all. But see, right? I that's interesting because I've always considered my people have asked me with the name Golden Hawk. They're like, "Are you native?" And I would always say, "I'm native by choice, not by birth."
Okay.
Because it's,
all right.
You know. Yeah. I don't. There's nothing organized per se, from religion to science. I'm not an organized person in general. Labels have always stifled me. So, but, you know, the whole name Golden Hawk, you know, was given to me by, you know, a shamanic entity who was very native. I mean, he had a full headdress on, and actually his name is Mikus Makus. And So I honor, you know, I think it's really about the honoring the consciousness of all life, which clearly falls into a native a philosophy or culture.
Well, and specifically if you're living on this continent, you know, if you're living on the
right.
North American continent, you're going to be resonating with some of those energies anyway, even if your lineage ties go to different parts of the world. So, you know, people sometimes forget that even if they're here and they don't have, you know, specifically Native American genetic makeup, it doesn't mean that they're not resonating with something a little bit deeper. So
nice. Indeed.
Yeah.
Okay, so, wow, you're a first-time guest. We all want to learn about you, including Goldie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, and I'll be honest with you, I'm definitely looking for the deep, juicy life, you know, share who you are and how you came to be through your life experience. Feel free to share stories. I love
personal stories. Personal stories. Well, let me just start with this. I came to paganism through happenstance.
Okay.
Yeah, I sort of grew up in a Southern Baptist household and never really quite made that work for me. Went off to college, was agnostic, flitted around, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
And should I share this? I don't know. It's so bizarre. I love
we like
you.
Bizarre here.
This is really bizarre. I'm going to take you way down the rabbit hole.
Yes! I knew you were sure.
I really like Scooby-Doo, and I trust Scooby. So anyway, I have been given a birthday gift. It was a Scooby-Doo cartoon. It was Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost. And the Wiccan concept within that cartoon, even though most of it is not accurate, really resonated with me. So I'm like, let me check out what that even is. And then got online, started looking to it, and it really kind of called to me and fell in with a local group. And almost a decade later, here I am.
Wow.
Animals have always been my thing, really. Growing up, animals, I worked at a veterinary office for quite some time. Really big into environmental education. My degree is in natural health, so there's a strong component there. And then I'm currently working at a wildlife rehabilitation clinic as well. So I get to spend a lot of time with animals that most people may not even see.
Right.
Really close up and getting to know them really, really well. And I've always been interested in the lectures about totems, totemic energy patterns, things of that nature, and it all just kind of spirals out from Scooby-Doo. So let your children watch Scooby-Doo. It has positive life influence. That is the moral of that story.
I love it.
So that's what I've
got.
Well,
listen, we had to awaken from whatever was given to us. I mean, right?
Exactly.
I mean, not that Scooby's not beautiful. Scooby's beautiful, but I believe you know we can awaken from eating SpaghettiOs all the time if that's what life is serving us. Because when it's time to awaken, we're going to awaken.
Yep. If it speaks to you, whatever gets
exactly.
you there.
Exactly. So that's all right. So thank you, Scooby.
That's on my resume now.
I love it.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So all right. So a deep connection with the animals. And you work with them. I mean, any awesome stories of?
Oh gosh.
You know, some wild animals. I would imagine a couple.
Yeah. I am a mother to. I am a very proud mother to squirrels. This is my fourth season raising squirrels. They have a spring litter and a fall litter every year, and there's always injured and ill and orphan babies that come in, and the ones that are really small and can't thrive at the center where I work that need round-the-clock care, I do take them home, and I raise them to be little hellions. And then we take them and we put them on a tree. And so
nice.
The squirrels chewing your deck that just won't go away and are really persistent are probably the ones that I have raised. And I've told them to take what they want. So, yeah, those are probably my squirrels. But, yes, it is really rewarding. I have to say that is one of the best experiences is the mothering aspect. I don't have children. I don't intend to have children unless they're four-footed. And, I have no
right
intention
on.
Of having
right
children.
On.
But,
okay.
Raising the squirrels is sort of like motherhood in a really quick, catalyzed way because they grow really, really fast. But literally when you're getting up around the clock to do feedings and you're training, you're basically raising them so they can go out and be independent adult animals in the wild. you're giving them that sense of identity, and you're pushing them, and you're pushing them forward in the same way a parent would push their child forward to be independent, and then one day you have to let go. And so it's been my way of experiencing that in this life, and squirrels have kind of given that to me. The other thing that was really cool that I got to do, and that was earlier this year, I had just gotten a brand new car, and there was a coyote that had come in, and the coyote needed a ride to the vet. Here I am with this mangy coyote, and literally mangy, it had mange, in the backseat of my car, and we're going to the vet.
Nice.
So it's kind
of love that you
peeking
you
in
knew
your
the...
windows, and
yeah.
see a coyote in your backseat, and you're wondering, are they going to call the cops? Because they're wondering why I have this animal in the backseat of my car. That would be awkward to have to stop and explain to the cop that I am licensed to have this animal in my car. But,
right.
It was really kind of interesting to get to be that close to what we would consider a medium-scale predator. Some people would look at that and consider that a large-scale predator. I mean, you know, I've seen mountain lions, so to me, a coyote's medium. But, you know, it's all perspective-related. Yeah.
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you for honoring the animal more than, you know, the prestige of a new car. I honor that. I do. Thank you. Because, you know, those of us who have an open heart and are connected with Earth and the sentient beings on her, there's nothing we wouldn't do. I mean, that really, you know, I mean, copper
exactly.
otherwise. You know, I remember when I was... I was living at my dad's house. I've done that for quite a few years of my life. Anyways, this was the time I was living at my dad's house. My boyfriend was living with me at the time, and a bat had it was alive, but it couldn't fly, and it was on my yard, and I went to I picked it up, I put it into a shoebox, and I was trying to feed it bugs and catch all the stuff, and my boyfriend's going, "You can't come in the house with that," and as you heard the story correctly, it was my house, it was my dad's house we lived in, because he's going, "You can't bring that bat in here." And I was like, first of all, you know, it can't fly and it needs care. And, you know, of course, I called the vet and they were like, "Listen, it could be highly rabid." And I always have, I trust my instincts on everything. And I didn't feel that. I kept the bat on the porch. We compromised. It wasn't in the house. It was on the screen and porch. I kept feeding it. But what I did is I kept it right by the door with the back door open, so if it got better, it could fly out. And it actually, the next morning, you know, I had saved the bat. The bat was not in the box, and we checked all over the porch. And I would imagine, they said that if it hits its head or something, it could, you know, it whacks out the sonar so they can't fly.
Yeah,
but
they have a hard time with
death.
That.
Right,
yep.
And it would have starved, because actually it might have been on the porch for a couple of days. I don't remember all the details so clearly. I just remember I saved it.
Right.
And my boyfriend,
and
not
people
wanting
don't realize they have to be at least a few feet up off the ground to take off, you know, and people find them.
Oh,
and we get called all the time. People have found them, and, you know, if you just give them a little bit of a lift off the ground, a lot of times they can take off, or if they have something they can cling on to and then go. So,
nice.
Yeah, I mean, and there is a natural fear of wildlife. There's a very, for most people, there's a natural fear of, well, don't touch it. It could have, you know, whatever. I've had people call, "Oh, my gosh, I'm scared of, you know, this turtle. It could have rabies." Well, back it up.
Yeah.
Turtle is not going to carry rabies. But, you know, lots and lots and lots of people have this just innate fear of, you know, things that we are way more a threat to them than they could ever be to us. And it's an unrational fear, really. It's good to have healthy respect, but it is always surprising to me that with as much education as we have in this country, we know so very little about our environment that surrounds us.
Yeah. Well, that's why we need teachers like you just sharing the information, because I don't believe it's a coincidence that people are afraid. I think it's designed. You know, the media, and I see it because I'm a nanny. I work with kids. I mean, I'll see initially their fear of bees, and I'm always quick to squelch that. You know, it's like, first of all, the bees are the flowers. Do you get that? The bees are every vegetable you're eating. The bees are basically, I don't put it in these terms, but they are the sexual the sexual means for plants to have sex. And
see, and that is why
I
do not have children, because I would have put it that way.
Well, I do with really little ones, and the parents would just kick my butt. But I do let them know that it's because they hop from plant to plant and get a little pollen on them that, you know, that we're able to eat what we eat. And, you know, it's just a matter of understanding the mechanics of how everything works. And I'm like, listen, they don't want to bother you any more than you want to be bothered by them. So,
exactly.
You know, it's such a matter of having a voice of confidence, because I think that's such an important – I think that's an important aspect in dealing with any fears that we have right now. I mean, and God knows there's fears of, you know, this whole hand lotion stuff with the 99.9%.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
It's like, I mean, and I even my kids are like, literally will go to CVS. I love it when they ask for candy because they're normal.
Mm-hmm.
But when my little Anya starts asking for the Purell, I'm like, stop doing that. don't be a clean freak, you know. Stop
it. Don't go down that road.
No, and I literally make her force her to I'll take a sip of her drink, and I'm like, now you have to use the cup. She's like, I don't want to. I'm like, you have to. I mean, she loves me. I mean, I'm like, you are a germaphobe.
And there's no reason to encourage. I mean, there's no, you know, obviously we don't want to encourage our children to never clean their rooms, but you know, there's absolutely no reason for that kind of paranoia. And I know that there's another area that underlies that has a lot of paranoia, and I find it interesting because you'll see people that are like, oh, the wolf is my totem or the eagle is my totem or whatever, but when they actually see a predator do its thing, they're horrified. When a coyote takes out a rabbit or a hawk takes out a rabbit, the rabbit's the good guy automatically, and the hawk is the bad guy, and we got to go out and beat it with a broom because it's hurting something. Oh, yeah. I mean, I have heard, believe me, and I am just, you know, the amount of, well, you know, the response I got from one lady was, well, if the hawk wants to eat, it can eat something that's already dead. I'm like, you know nothing about hawks. It has to eat. Do you have burger? I mean, do you eat a burger? What the hawk is doing is way more humane to the rabbit than what we are doing to the cow. So,
right on.
You know, it amazes me, this fear and this repulsion of natural predators when they're actually seen doing what predators do to live their lives and to keep the prey species in a natural balance. Because we all see what happens when there is no natural predator. The prey species have illness. They die of starvation. You know, lots of horrible things happen to bunnies if bunnies are not kept in check, in balance.
Yeah.
And these natural predators provide that for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just amazing to me how immediately the majority of the culture identifies with the prey, and it's to the obvious detrimental effects of the predator. You know, it's just really sad.
It shows the consciousness, how it's out of balance. I mean, that's a direct reflection of our consciousness, meaning we don't want to look at the dark. The dark is shunned. The dark is denied. The dark is blamed. You know, it's...
Yeah. Well, and it's
right
also a culture of victimization. It's the rabbit's a victim. The rabbit's part of the cycle. The rabbit is not a victim.
Nor do I believe the rabbit even looks at itself as a victim.
No, the rabbit, first of all, if the hawk has got it, the rabbit even hadn't thought about it. By the time the hawk has it, it's over. You know, but
Right, because they're very precise. They go right for the heart.
Exactly.
Bam, it's gone.
Strike, yep.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I have a huge passion for our predator animals because they are the most misunderstood. And, I'll get off my soapbox about that.
No. Okay, just listen. Hawk, listen, I live the life of a predator. I love it. Go deeper. Talk about my misunderstandings.
Exactly. Well, one of my animals is the cheetah, and very misunderstood by ranchers and livestock farmers, you know, in their natural habitats. You know, so there's a lot of misunderstanding about natural predators and what it means for them to survive. You know, we would not want to, you know, dismantle that and have nothing but prey species running around. It would just be chaos.
Totally.
Even if you don't, even if you're a vegetarian, which, by the way, most people that have this philosophy aren't even close, which surprises me. I'm like, if you have this philosophy, at least give me something with which to respect you. Like, be a vegetarian. Because then at least you can say, well, I don't eat any, you know, animals, so I don't want anything else to either. Okay, you're wrong, but I respect you. You know, most people are going to McDonald's 3 times a day, and they're shoving in more beef than I would in a month. And yet they're complaining about, you know, the snake that ate the squirrel in the backyard. Well, you know, I just can't even have this conversation.
It's very
really
limited.
One-sided.
It's a limited point of view. Yeah.
It is.
Well, you know, I'd like to share, too, that for many moons, I grew up in Are you on the East Coast? Where are
I
you
am,
located?
I am in Missouri.
Missouri.
In the Bible Belt.
Okay.
Yeah, but fortunate to be in St. Louis. We're a pretty eclectic city.
I have a good friend in Milwaukee. She picked me up in Milwaukee. Okanoka-Mokawaka? I don't know.
Wow.
It's some Indian town. I think it's a relatively big town. Anyways, I've been to Wisconsin. It's a beautiful state. But when I first moved to Buffalo, New York, I grew up in basically the East Coast Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to Buffalo, there were hunters, and they were training their children to hunt at like age 10. They were putting guns in their hands, and at first
wow.
I was like appalled. Then, I mean, see, I know what this prejudice is all about, because I would never date a hunter. I wouldn't talk to hunters, because the hunters in Fairfield County are literally people, you know, putting the deers, and it's all such an ego, you know, gee, I killed a big cat, but first we declawed it, scared the shit out of it, and kept it in a cage for 19 hours. You know,
I'm so
not impressed with the power struggle of these hunters.
Mm-hmm.
But in Buffalo, they were teaching their kids to hunt because they were putting food on their table. They were hunting quails. They were hunting squirrels. They were eating squirrels. I didn't realize until I had been up there a few weeks that, you know, they had big Ford company had closed, and it was like the whole place was all bars, churches,
mm-hmm.
and empty, dilapidated auto industry buildings. I mean, it was really bizarre, and extreme poverty.
Wow.
So, and I saw these hunters having respect for the males and the females, the cycles, when to hunting two or three and leaving the rest. I was like, it was so clear to me that they were in tune, and mm-hmm. and the businessman walking into Stop and Shop picking up a few pork chops didn't even have a clue that it was a pig he was eating.
Right.
You know, it was so obvious to me, and I really restructured my belief system at that point about it. Don't hate the hunter, hate the unaware. Not hate, but,
yeah.
You know,
but you
know,
that's what we
something.
Should disdain is the unaware, and you know,
yeah.
It's also an attitude of why are we doing it? I mean, are you doing it for the right reasons? Are you using as much of the animal as possible, or are you compensating
right.
for insufficient manhood? What is it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's sort of like
yeah.
the trucks with the testicles hanging off the back. We have to wonder why that is. So, yeah. Same philosophy? Could be.
So true. Beautifully stated, uh-huh. my friend. Yeah. That would be, I'd hit the like button on that one if that was
right.
a post. That was very good. That was very good. So, yeah, so, you know, I mean, I'm all about, you know, bringing awareness. I'm curious, like, all right, so you're obviously into animals your whole life. How does one get into the wisdom or the specific area of, like, totems and the nature of, you know, are you, in, you know, using intuitive abilities or is this, you know, a native teaching? How did you...
It's a hodgepodge of things, really.
Okay.
Sort of like everything else in my life, I arrive at everything eclectically. It's almost like weaving a web and all the pieces finally come together and you get to see it and you're
right
like, oh,
on.
It's a web. But
yeah.
at the time, you don't really know what it is you're building. But then when it comes together and you see the full picture, you're like, oh, that's where that was going. Collectively, I've been to many, many different lectures and workshops. And I was initially drawn in, of course, because I was working in the healthcare field. I'd had a veterinary background. I've always loved animals, and I've always really respected natural forms of healing. Not, you know, withstanding, if my arm is falling off, I do want to go to the emergency room, and I do want to have it sewn back on. Thank you very much. Aside from that, you know, I always think if there's a natural, gentle solution to your problem, that should be the way to go. And so it's a little bit closer to the earth, and as I was studying that, you know, primarily human-based, but, you know, there were some classes relating to animals in that degree program. And so that
okay.
kind of, you know, catapulted that direction. And, of course, then, you know, flitted around in healthcare for a while, wound up, again, not a whole lot of planning on my part, started off volunteering, wound up working at a wildlife rehab. Loved it, still volunteer, still work there. Great place. They do really
nice.
Good things. And
feel free to plug it if you want to plug
yes,
it.
Yes, they are
awesome.
And of course, I will say this, please, if you have an injured, ill, or orphaned animal, find a rehabber in your area. It's best opportunity for that animal. But aside from all of that, it's really best for the animal. And there's lots of rehabbers out there, so don't be shy to look for them.
So would that be in the Blue Pages? How would somebody find a rehab?
You know what? Google really is your friend.
There you
go. You can also contact your local Department of Conservation if you're not sure.
Okay.
But those would be the two ways that I would look for them. If it were me and I was in a different state and I didn't know where things were, that's how I would go about it.
Right on. You're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That would be the best. But yeah, so just between all the classes and the interest in animals and, of course, being pagan and wanting to know the symbology and the spiritualism behind that, it all kind of came together very symbiotically for me. And I did find that, you know, I'm a Scorpio, so there's a lot of natural intuition there, deep waters. You know, I always
lead
with my gut. I do trust in what visions do come through, and I have never, ever, ever in my 7 years of doing readings, never had somebody come back and go, I don't know what that reading was about. It was completely wrong.
Right on.
Never
right
won.
On.
So, yeah, it's a system that works for me. I do use several different decks. I have a mojo bag filled with real animal items that have been ethically harvested. Thank you very much. And I also, you know, have an animal scrying mirror and several other methods, and I just kind of blend them together with what feels right for that specific instance and go forward with it.
Sweet. So, and well, I got to share with you my cheetah story because I saw when, I was at the Bronx Zoo, me and a friend of mine, and the way the exhibit is set up, there's this one space you can go to where you are literally 4 feet from the animal.
Mm.
And there were two cheetahs laying down, butts towards us. It was me and my friend Cliff and a woman and her young son. And, you know, I've just always had this intuition also about animals. I mean, I've always felt, to be quite honest, much safer around animals, wild or otherwise, than I have ever felt around people.
Mm-hmm.
But I started at first doing it in my head, and then I started verbally out loud talking to the cheetah, just thanking it for being on display and honoring it for, you know, I know that there have been lifetimes where I started visualizing it running through the plains of Serengeti and, you know, just being free and running. I mean, how do you not look at a cheetah? I saw the motion in it, and you know, it's in an exhibit that it really can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was honoring its spirit because I knew it was still in them. And then after, you know, like 10 minutes, and the little boy tags his mommy's leg and goes, Mommy, wait, he's talking to his cheetah. My friend Cliff started going, yep, that's what she does. She talks to the animals. And I after I was done just basically blessing it and sharing my gratitude with it, I was like, oh, if you could turn around so I could get a picture, that would be just exquisite. And don't you know, both of them get up, turn around, and sit. They don't lie because you can tell they wanted me to capture them regally, and I was like, yes, and I'm taking these pictures, and I'm going, thank you so much, you know, truly, truly, I honor your presence. So then we go to walk away, and they followed us.
What an awesome experience.
It was so obviously, because, you know, Cliff was like, you know, if I wasn't here to see it, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't believe it. And I'm like, listen, this is a heart-to-heart connection. I literally connected them to the spirit of the Serengeti. They want to know more. They want more.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole day I just kept tuning in. We ended up leaving, but I kept tuning in and just, you know, sharing love and gratitude. And, you know, because these beings are, you know, I mean, there's an essence of prison, but I don't believe all. I believe some of them, you know, that in every species, what I'm learning from the smallest to the small to the largest of the large, all species have good species, good ones and bad ones. That's the nature of where we are. We're in a polarized experience. I didn't get that these cheetahs were the bad ones. But I have experienced other animals, including dolphins, that were wild, that were definitely, you know, what we would consider trickster energy or just, you know, they're not absolutely, for my best interest, they didn't mind, you know, messing with me a little. So that's part of And I believe it's part of every species. That's not just the human species. That's part of every species.
Well, and every animal has their own personality. You know,
exactly.
I mean, people, you know, it's something that, you know, when we look at animals, we see rabbits or we see squirrels or we see cheetahs or whatever it is we're looking at in that moment. But we forget sometimes in that representation of them that they're each individuals. And they're not alike at all, no more than you and I would be identical. And,
absolutely.
You know, we kind of forget that. And zoos, you know, there's a lot of conflict over, you know, zoos and whether or not it's ethical or what have you. Whether it is or whether it isn't, I try to look at them. I try to put the positive onto it.
Mm-hmm.
I look at those cheetahs as ambassadors.
Yes.
On behalf of entire cheetahs coming to us and saying, look at us. Please don't put traps out. Please respect us. Because humans are very visual creatures. We need to see something and really feel connected to something to care about it. We can't care about things in the abstract. We can identify with abstract notions, but we don't really have emotional attachment to abstract notions. And so it becomes very important to have that kind of identification. So ethical or not, they are acting as liaisons. So when I go to the zoo, it's sort of like going to the UN. You know,
I
all these animals are liaisons, you know? So
yeah.
We should respect them. That's the more positive way maybe to look at zoos, despite, you know, who you're talking to that might have an issue with them. So,
well, right. I mean, because what I used to do is, I mean, and I would talk to my kids, I'd go and I would always feel the sadness. You know, I'd be like, oh, my God, you know, is the polar bear happy? I'd look at my three-year-old who, you know, is clearly still multidimensional and open to all that. And they'd look at me and go, no, he's happy. And I'd be like, are you sure? And it's like, Goldie, he's happy. And it's like, you know, and I realized it was my unhappiness seeing something that should, in my heart, wanted, I felt it should be free. And that's when, again, it was like, Goldie, A, if you're going to come here, you got to shift yourself. Listen, you know, don't you know? I mean, there have been times in my life where just keep feeding me. I'm not getting off the couch. I'm good, you know. That's how other animals could feel that. That's a joyful experience as well.
Ask yourself, how free are you really? You go to work. You have responsibilities. You live in a house that you probably have to pay for. You have a car you probably have to pay for. You have all these ties to society that put you in a box, inside a box, inside a box.
Yes.
Are you really that free in your existence day to day? Not as free as we'd like to think we are when we're actually completely conscious in the moment. Because we do have some things that we are tied to. Not that that's a bad thing, because at the same time it anchors us. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, we are just as trapped as anything else.
I knew I was going to like tonight. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, my audience knows me, right? Isn't I? Right, wait, ready? Wait, we got to do something right now. This is for you, Jennifer. Okay, I wish I... Right, ready? There you go. Right on. I mean, I can't even see. We're deep down the rabbit hole here. We definitely talk about the illusion of freedom around here. And, you know, that is right on. So, indeed, the whole planet is an awakening, you know, is awakening. Because one of the things that I like to, you know, experience, like for me, like when you were saying, you know, be vegan, you know, don't be upset that the animals in nature, you know, are eating each other, and then you go around and eat meat. But there are levels of consciousness that, you know, even the vegans, I'm like, listen, plants are life.
They are, you know? And that really throws them when you're saying things like, oh, you know, those trees in Africa that those giraffes chew on, they can signal to each other to warn each other that the giraffes are coming.
Yes.
They're sentient beings. Who can think? Their whole world just unraveled. And I have a friend who's just like vegan, raw. And finally, when I told her that, she goes, I wish there was just a capsule I could take so I wouldn't have to deal with all this. I'm like, where do you think the ingredients for the capsule would come from? I mean,
I
eat meat. You know, I mean, I'm not like,
well, the whole
meat
key
every day,
to honor
but, you
it.
Know,
no,
exactly.
Exactly.
You have to honor
the
life
it.
That goes in and out. And, you know,
one
day I'm going to be worm food. It's all good because it's a recycling process, and I like to recycle. So.
Well, exactly. In the third and fourth dimension, it's pretty much mandatory. So.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yes, totally. But that's because, I mean, I have found for myself, many of the raw vegan people that I have dealt with, to be quite honest, they're very clear in wisdom, but that grounding unconditional love, no, that's not present.
There's a lot of judgment that goes with it.
A superior amount of judgment, and it's like, I mean, but I don't feel the warm fuzzies that I feel from, you know, I personally eat the animals, and I know everybody's like, oh, you're eating the vibration of all the suffering. It's like, no, I can go beyond that, right to the soul of the animal.
And you have to look at where that meat's coming from. Like, you know, my husband and I, we take a lot of effort to buy from local farms that have humane slaughter. The animals were free-range, grass-fed,
nice.
Normal. They lived a great life, and they died swiftly and quickly and naturally, and it's just, there's no suffering on my meat. It's just my meat, you know, and so I'm not worried about it, you know.
Right on.
Right on.
Well,
so
I'll be
worried
honest,
about it.
Well, the key is the worry, because, you know what, I bless everything. The animals are so clear. You know, if in my universe, once I become a creator, you know, we're all creators in training around here. When I become a creator, people are welcome in my universe, but only if you're conscious of all the plants, all the animals, all the minerals, you know, all the etherics and the gases, and everybody will radiate from within. You know, because this whole dimension is a dimension of consumption. We are all consuming each other to stay alive, and I get it. That's what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand that there should be an honor while it's done. And in my humble opinion, that honor is the alchemy that just goes beyond whatever. It's almost like, have you ever done something for somebody? And I know you get this. So have you ever done, you know, a favor for somebody and, you know, they don't say thank you, and it's like, God, they take the air out of your sails. And yet if someone that does say thank you, you just can't wait to help them again. You know, it's like,
yes.
You know, it's like I don't mind giving effort, but there, it's like I believe every sentient, I believe life itself feeds on gratitude and graciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know how good it makes me. It is the difference between, you know, truly the difference between me, you know, busting my hump to help somebody again or not. You know,
absolutely. If you don't feel it was appreciated, why are you doing it? You haven't made a substantial difference. You haven't made a substantial difference in their approach. You know, there's absolutely no reason to perpetuate that cycle.
Right. As I say, I cut them down at their knees. I mean, because my friends are all like, you know, Goldie, you seem to have this ability to say no to people. Like, I think there's a lot, and I think it's in women a lot, where they, you know, they have this thing where they have to be, you know, the good girl. They just have to help.
Yes, you have to be giving and kind and nice and Stepford wife.
Yeah.
You know, you have to.
Yeah, well, you know, gag me with a spoon. That's pathetic. I mean, I don't have to do anything, including pay taxes and die. I don't have to do either one of those things. right. So, and I'll be honest with you, and I really feel like the meat that I eat, it really does help me have a better understanding of the earth, as opposed to, you know, because I notice a lot of us are, you know, we're all meditating to get out of our bodies. I don't do that anymore. I am.
You know, I have never really done that, and I think it's because for most of my life, my parents were very focused on health as well. I've been healthy. There was no reason to attempt to escape. I was enjoying my physical experience as well as the other levels of existence. There was no desire to escape to something different.
Right. Well, and you know what's so funny is you're right on the money. I mean, I basically used to take drugs, and then my meditation became the drug. Because all I knew was I wanted to get the hell out of Earth, get the hell off of Earth. And now I'm realizing I was being manipulated, because the whole point is I have a serious presence here on Earth that is influential and powerful, to be quite honest. And so there were beings that didn't want me to kind of, you know, become my own, because if I do, then, you know, I'm going to shed light on their delusions, basically.
And so, that's hard for a lot of people, too, because once you take responsibility for yourself and you're living your life and you're doing your thing and you're in your own flow.
Yeah.
It just shows them where they are not doing that. And it becomes very uncomfortable for them to be around you, because the excuses that they tell themselves don't hold weight in your presence at all.
Yeah, huh? So you've experienced this maybe a couple of times.
Just a little. And I'm like, that's fine. You know, you can leave my sphere then, because we're all working towards bigger, better things over here. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
And if you're not ready to grow, you know, I mean, I have certain
people.
Nobody
can grow.
Nobody can. That's exactly what she. Oh boy. Mm-hmm. See, that's another thing that I really enjoyed about
you. You can't pour healing onto somebody if they're not ready. You have to let them be in their space.
Absolutely. You got it. That's the honoring again. So
yeah,
you got
exactly.
to honor them.
Honor them. Yes.
Because we have a whole culture of light workers out there that want to place healing on another, you know, gift the healing. You know, and I'm not saying that there aren't, you know, I'm sure there's a few people, you know, on the planet that have energy fields that, you know, if you're just physically in their presence, could probably spontaneously heal cancer. I'm not saying it can't be done, but the majority of the people on the planet are going to heal pretty much the way I heal, through self-healing, through self-awareness, through facing our fears and going through them. You know, that which doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
Well, and it's not enough.
The way it works down here.
It's not enough to just want to be healed. You have to be ready to receive it from yourself. You have to be ready. You have to believe that you deserve it, first of all.
That's
and a lot of people can
right
be
on.
Desperate for that, whether it's, you know, a physical condition or not. But if you're not ready to let go of that, or you're not ready to receive it because for some reason you really don't believe you deserve it, or you're not ready learning what you need to learn, it's not your time. And I think sometimes that can really screw people up more. People are telling you, well, you should be better because I did Reiki on you or whatever. They're
right.
not ready. Stop telling them
right.
they should be somewhere that they're not ready to be.
Right.
Know?
Right on. Right. It's absolute truth. And, you know, it's interesting because as this awareness comes in, and I do believe we are all, it seems like all of us are getting lifted up another, like, layer or another rung on the ladder wherever we are. This potential of being lifted up, including, you know, the people that are steeped deep in the trance. I mean, they're still going to be in a trance and they're uplift, but it's still closer to being aware than it was, you know, at the other level. Exactly. And, you know, in honoring of that, and I'm starting to truly understand so much more about, because, you know, everything we're talking about, I've done. I have been like, you know, I've been over, like, I've dated guys and gone, you know, God damn it, I'm going to heal you. You know, that was like I'm sitting there choking them by the neck. You're going to heal. I swear to God, you're going to heal.
You will be a better person, damn it.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And I mean, of course, part of my own healing was to recognize that they're in the divine space called me. Back off. And it's
I'm glad you realized that.
Oh, yes. Well, what's amazing is I've always had this amazing connection with animals. Like, I mean, my whole life. And yet when I was 13, I was bit by a dog in my face.
Oof.
Which, you know, and you would think that that could turn. I mean, I had 350 stitches, plastic surgery.
Oh,
it was,
my gosh.
I mean, I was over at my girlfriend's house, and she went to go get the roller skates. I heard the dog barking in the back, a big sheepdog, which I was playing with inside, you know, roly-poly, hairy thing. And it was tied up. And I literally bent down, took both my hands to put my hands over his snout towards his ears.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned his head one bite and took off my face, basically. I mean, my face was hanging. My girlfriend's sister came walking down the stairs, looked at me, and then threw up in the kitchen sink.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
I was like, yeah, it was pretty serious. And the funny part is my mom, who was a nursery school teacher for 12 years, she had seen, you know, kids, you know, with holes in their foreheads and broken bones. She looked at my father and she goes, do you think we need to take her to the hospital? Because what she used to do is always pinch our skins. Like, if we had some sort of accident, my mom would just pinch our skin and go, hey, you'll get better. she was very calm. It's not that she wasn't loving. She just had a calmness about her, and she also had a sense of natural healing. She just knew these things, and my father looked at her and went, well, you know, this is her face. I mean, and
mm-hmm.
350 stitches later, God bless. God bless, Mom. You think I needed to go to the doctor? Anyways, yeah, it was pretty deep. And, you know, for a long time I kind of grappled with that, going, why would this happen? And come to find out years later, A, when a dog is tied up, it'll take on a different personality. But B, which is probably the A, they were abusing the dog. So, you know, the dog was kind of schizophrenic, and this was my best friend. I mean, I didn't have a clue at the time, you know, any of that was going down. Because they asked me, you know, do you want to put the dog to sleep? And I was like, of course not. You know, that's Karen's dog. That's my best friend's dog. Well, yeah, I'm in eighth grade. No. But it was a really kind of, you know, clearly one of those life-shattering moments. My face was, you know, I didn't know if it was going to be deformed. You know, to be honest, God bless plastic surgeons. You can't believe what they can do. It's,
it's amazing what can be done.
it's amazing what can be done. Absolutely. So, you know, God bless that happened. But it used to make me wonder going, you know, why do the canines? Because I always go to the biggest, you know, it's like, because I have wolf in my totems. And I really got that it was more about the experience of, you know, kind of understanding this whole illusion, you know, it being chained up and how that plays in a part. Because I've had experiences, I mean, I'm clear, like I've taken my kids to, and when I say my kids, I don't have kids either, I'm a nanny. But I'll take them to doggy parks, and because one of my kids, Sahana, is very afraid of dogs. They don't even have a dog, but it's like she has this weird fear of them. And I'm like, we need to go through this, don't we? And, you know, I'll be like, today are we going to walk through our fears? And she'll go, okay, Goldie. You know, because I think it's really important that we get our kids used to, like anything else, the muscle of walking through fears. You know, and at the doggy park, they're so happy. You can so see these dogs are just, you know, drooling and running around, and, you know, they're not on leashes. It's a fabulous, fabulous space. But even, like, hawks and owls, when these birds are up close and personal with you, I mean, you look at their talons and their beaks, and they can F you up like nobody's business.
It's serious. I had a squirrel that wasn't even, you know, I was just doing what I normally would do to clean an enclosure, and the squirrel was having a day and bit my finger. And you wouldn't think a squirrel, you know, it's a squirrel. Ooh. It's not, you know, a puma. But they have long teeth that are made for cracking nuts.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it was like a little bore hole into my finger.
Oh.
And
yeah.
It just bled and bled and bled and bled. And, you know, I mean, we don't think about it, but they have nice long toenails and really big teeth. And you would be surprised up close to some animals the impressive attributes they carry.
Right on. Because, you know what, everything has the attribute of survival, defending oneself. And, you know, because I have found, like lately, whatever's going on in my energy field, like when I go to the woods, I'll hike to certain spaces and then I set up camp. And, you know, I literally set up a little, like, it's a spread, you know, where I can lay down and I just blend, you know, I don't need to hike, in other words, for 18 hours. It's not so physical. I just get where I go and then I chill for 6 hours and then I come out. But the chipmunks have been coming incredibly close to my presence, and I can tell because a lot of times before I even realize how close they are, you know, like, you know, I bring food, so I'll eat, and I'm always spreading, you know, the crackers around so the ants go to the crackers and don't come on my thing. You know, I have this understanding. They're hungry. Okay, here, so let me feed you away from my space so I can be in my space and you're not bothering me. And I know that the chipmunks might be coming for some of the food as well, but there have been times that I don't even spread out the food, and I just can get a sense that I feel like my energy is neutralizing to the point that they're not even noticing, quote-unquote, a human in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I mean, a lot of times we come in and you'll hear people that aren't used to being out in the woods or whatever.
Right.
And people are loud. I mean, they wonder why they don't see anything. Because you're loud. I can hear you stomping a mile away. You're loud. Everything you do is loud and your phone's on. And first of all, a lot of phones put off, you know, electromagnetic energy. That changes everything. You have your doodads on and, you know, you're stomping and you're talking and you're laughing. And even when you sit, you don't sit still. You fidget and you fuss. And, you know, we have this constant. We're more of a human doing than a human being. We're constantly doing something.
Right on.
And we can't really just be, and it's in those moments of stillness that we blend. And when we blend, we're not we're not disharmonizing with all the other vibrations around us. We're in it.
Right.
And that's when we become less of a threat.
Right, exactly. And that's how, because, I mean, I'm never a threat, but you're absolutely right. There are times when, like, if I'm emotionally distraught, every time I go in emotionally distraught, I always come out feeling better. Hands down, I tell people all the time, forget the meds. I mean, for me, go sit with the trees. These are the medicinal beings of our planet. I mean, hands down. Oops, hands down.
You put your hands down, didn't you?
They are genuinely the healers of this planet. So, I mean, this way you do it kind of, it's in their natural form. It's their essence, because hugging trees, I wasn't told personally, but a friend of mine had connected with this gentleman who, like, went Buddha or something. I don't know. He had made, like, 16 CDs on his journey to a Rama. He was a Rama, which is some sort of, I guess, Buddha person.
Must have been quite a tale, 16 CDs.
Exactly. He was actually a pretty interesting guy, a little arrogant, but pretty interesting. But the one thing I took away from that talk, because, gosh, this was in 2002, was he said, if you ever got stuck interdimensionally, if you had befriended a tree, it will be the trees that will help you get out. And that stuck with me. You know, one of those weird things that just sticks. And so there was a time when I was in the woods, and this is in my earlier days when I first started going to the woods, I remember hugging a tree, and I literally, like, felt the tree weeping with joy because it had watched all these people go by on the path and, like, its whole life wanted to be hugged by a person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got that. It was like, so I began weeping in joy. And then I started realizing, well, I'm there all the time. I'm going to make friends with these trees. Because it's almost like each tree, just like each animal, just like each person, just like each alien. Everything has their own presence, their own uniqueness about them. And, you know, there's really, they're amazing friends. I mean, when I go to the forest now, I literally go and see friends because...
Mm-hmm.
That's the relationship I've built, and you know, they're incredible caregivers, as well as the you know, the chipmunks and the squirrels and the deer. God bless the deers, you know, because I'll always think, like, oh, you know, who's coming? Whenever I do my little camping things, I'm off path because I like privacy. You know, I'm not really there. I, if I want to go with the group, I'll stay on path to the big sites that, you know, end up at the big vistas.
Oh, yeah.
But 99% of the time, I'm just there to go in and do my healing and, you know, just be with nature and, you know, a human being, exactly like you were saying. And the deers, they sound sometimes, especially when they don't think anybody's around, like humans sometimes, the way they walk. They just sound like two humans because of the 4 feet.
The 4 feet, yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, shit, you know, somebody's here or whatever. And then I'll turn around and I'll go, oh, no, look at the white tail. Yeah. You know, and then I'm just expanded. It's just such an incredible moment. Incredible. I knew I was going to like talking to you. I have as much to share as you do.
I know. That's so awesome, right?
Oh, it's so cool. Oh, I'm getting a call right now. Anyway, let's let the second beep happen. I got to learn to shut my. Anyway. Oh, there it goes. Okay, great. Okay, so we've got callers on the line. We're a couple of minutes. We're like 1 minute before the top of the hour. So, do you need to go into a space, or do we just...
I already kind of created my space before I got online with you, brought everything I needed into it, did my mojo.
Awesome.
So, yeah, what I'll be doing is basically little message totem readings, and that's basically message totems are animals that suddenly, neutrally, and at random times pop up to bring you a message. And usually they're powerful self-growth or spiritual messages. So it's just a quick little, hey, this animal's talking to you, here's the message type of thing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, they don't have their hands up. The callers that are on, you guys could just be listening, and that's totally cool. I mean, clearly me and Jennifer can
We can talk
for hours. if you want a reading, the lines are now open. This goes for anybody. The lines are now open. If you want to call in and get a mini totem reading from Jennifer, the number to call is 646-929-2084. And then press 1 on your phone pad. And that puts a little sign up for me, and that lets me know you want a reading. And the board lights up. I love you guys.
All right.
All right. All right. Let's bring on our first caller. Okay, area code 309, you're on the air.
Hi, that's me.
Yeah.
Well, hi.
Hello. My name is Sarah, and I just started school last week for the first time in 8 years, so I'm a little scattered.
Well, congratulations on taking that leap. That's amazing.
Right on.
Thank you.
Right on. I agree.
It was terrifying the weekend before, and then once I got there, things evened right back out. Well, kind of evened right back out. But I know that there are messages coming my way, and between fatigue and being overwhelmed and everything else, I'm just not hearing them or even realizing they're waiting for me in my conscious email.
Well, so all right.
I was hoping Jennifer could help me out with that.
All right. Well, I can help you out with that. How about that? You got what you called for.
Exactly.
Two things are kind of coming forward as we're talking. And this is going to seem a little bizarre. I'm going to tell you both of them before I go into the symbology, but I kind of want to tell you them together because I want that shock and awe. Mouse and, yeah, how about that? I want shock and awe. The mouse is the first one, and then the wild horse, which you wouldn't think, yeah, you're like, how in the world? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. The mouse first, because I feel that that's the slightly stronger energy pattern for you in this moment.
That's a good one today.
Oh, Sarah, you're breaking up just a little bit. I don't know if you could move closer.
I said I actually buried a mouse today. So.
Oh, wow.
My goodness.
I found it on the sidewalk as I was out running errands, and I picked it up and walked it home and put it under the bush where I've been putting all the poor little dead things I've been finding this summer, where, you know, all the little critters. I'm like, I'm sorry, go home, feel better. Here's a
resting
place.
Well, see, but you did get the messenger. The messenger found you the way the messenger had to find you. Nice.
Exactly. And it has been a long, hot summer, so it's been hard on these guys.
Yeah,
the mouse is all about persistence. Persistence in overcoming obstacles, and once you've made your decision about what you're doing, paying very close attention to details. So it's that confirmation, that validation, if you will, that you are choosing to overcome your obstacles to do what you want, but you need to be persistent in them because you're just starting at the beginning. Odds are, not that I want to scare you, but odds are there's more obstacles waiting for you up ahead as you proceed down this path. Not to be overwhelmed by them to the point where you just want to give up. You definitely want to proceed on with this. You definitely want to work on these obstacles, be persistent and incisive and decisive with what you do. It's big energy in a little package.
Okay,
so there's also a message of conservation there, which means please don't feel like you have to take on everything. Now that this is on your plate, if there comes a time when you need to take other things off your plate that most people are like, well, aren't you coming to that party or aren't you going to do this for us or aren't you going to make dinner tonight or blah, 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 you just tell them no. Just tell them no. You know, make sure that you're keeping that balance, basically.
Okay.
For yourself, okay? The other thing is the wild horse coming in is kind of a secondary message for you. Make sure that as you're going through this new experience, this new adventure in your life path, that you speak with passion, that you are out there and you're being free to be yourself, you're not being influenced by groups too much, and that you are being honest and loving in all of your words and deeds, even when times get stressful.
Okay, that one is the one that concerns me. I can really be bull in the china shop, especially when I'm passionate about something, I'm excited about something, and I'm working on a professional certification, so they're finding that balance of, this is who I am, and I'm not going to change for you without being overly aggressive and putting people off.
It's hard. Are you a Taurus?
No, I'm a Scorpio.
No.
I have but my rising sign, I'm a double Scorpio with my rising sign as an Aries.
Ooh, a lot of Mars energy.
Yeah.
Well, it's all right. It's all right. I love, well, first of all, I love all my Scorpio sisters. But, yeah, I definitely have a lot of friends who are Aries, too. Bull in a china shop. Think of it more as horse on a mission. You
okay,
are the Pony
nice.
Express, my dear. Get to where you're going and deliver your message, and don't be shy about your message, but make sure it comes in the best format possible to be received.
Okay.
So diplomacy, which is not going to be easy for you, given your astrological inclinations. I am so with you. I feel your pain. But once you kind of build onto that, trust me, it's not a tool that came easy to me. But once you kind of build onto that, I mean, I'm not going to compromise who I am, but I am going to try to say my message. Look at it this way. This might help you a lot.
Okay.
The Scorpio constellation, the claws, they're the Libra scales. Libra became a constellation when they lopped off the scorpion's claws. So your balance is in your claws. Just take it back, honey. Just take your claws back. Work with that energy a little bit, and then ask yourself in every situation, do I hold it in the left claw, do I hold it in the right claw, or do I come down the middle with the tail? What's the most proper response? Mm. That kind of energy might help you a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do try to tell the truth with love, but then there are people who don't want to hear the truth, even though I am being called to tell them the truth.
Yeah, all you can do is speak it, but I have found that if you tell somebody the truth who isn't ready to hear the truth, it's just like telling them a lie to their ears. It really is.
Mm.
There's not a whole lot you can do about that other than speak the truth and let it go because it's no longer your message.
Oh,
yep.
So just do
Begin.
My job, put it out there, and then when
and
they're ready
go.
To maybe think about it, they will.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I just wanted a little basics, and that gives me a great starting point for thinking and meditation. So thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you for calling.
Thank you for
night.
Calling, Sarah. Thank you.
And I'll keep listening on my phone. So thanks.
Okay, wonderful.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for telling me that. Bye now. Wow, Jen, that was pretty awesome. That was
thank you.
Yeah, that was right on. That was deep. Okay. Well, I guess the other person hung up. There's another person on the line. They might have they might have a baby or something. Maybe they'll call back or.
Oh, see, that's why I don't have one.
Right there. 2-hour shows, absolutely.
Yeah.
But for anybody that wants to call in, 646-929-2084, and then just press 1 on your phone, and we can do a mini reading. Actually, would you do a mini reading for me?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Why not?
And
you're
just so you know,
blind?
And if a caller comes, I'll cut mine short because, hold that thought. Somebody just put their hands up.
Okay.
It's a good flow. It's a good flow, so thanks. Hi, area code 828, I think. Oh, wait. I thought I unmuted you. There you go. Hi. What's your name?
Hi. I just wanted her to do a reading for me.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Can we just have your first name?
Sure. It's Dina.
Dina. Well, hi. Okay, yeah.
Hi.
Let's
How
get
are you?
A reading going for you. I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm fine.
Okay. Let's see what we got for you. Okay. Got a couple things, too. You guys are all kind of active tonight. you guys have a lot of little messages coming through here. Dina, the very first one that I have for you is
Tina.
Monkey. Oh, Tina.
Tina. I thought it was Dina, too.
Tina. Yeah, my bad. Tina. Well, Tina, the very first one that I have for you is the monkey.
Okay.
And I know that doesn't sound all that glamorous, but I promise you it is. The monkey is actually an ancient deity worshipped by most Middle Eastern people. So there have been lots of different stories about monkey heroes who have rescued different gods and goddesses, and it's because they possess the skills of agility. So they're known for that. So it's sort of a dominion thing. So part of what this is telling me is that you need to kind of embrace your courage and agility and spirit in life. Maybe you've kind of fallen into a rut, or maybe you're contemplating doing something new and haven't quite done it yet, or you've just started. But there's something there that you need to build a little bit of agility and newness into your life, and go ahead and feel free to take that leap, because apparently you have a really strong spirit. You do sort of have a real invincibility about you underneath. I guess what I'm sensing from you is there's a real solid foundation. Like, you're the person everybody comes to when they need a shoulder. Am I right? Yeah. I just had a feeling about you. Yeah, building in a little bit of agility, a little spontaneity, doing new things, exploring, taking new classes or, you know, going to a new restaurant, doing all this newness, building the newness in your life is actually going to bring a lot of harmony and abundance, actually, to your door. So it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Okay, I just writing a book.
Did you really? Oh, my goodness. All you people are doing these great things, these big things, going back to school, writing books. You know, I'm just playing around on Facebook. But there's these good things
maybe
going on.
Maybe that's why I'm right now, I'm just, you know, I just finished, so I don't know what I'm doing next.
Oh. Well, maybe next you should publish it.
Oh, I am. I have a publisher.
Okay. Oh, wow. Look at you go. Yeah. Well, I would definitely suggest getting out there and adding some newness to your life. Just exploring things.
Yeah, I will. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a wish list. I'm a Reiki master, and then I wrote the book. I do poetry.
Wow. That is absolutely amazing. Well, congratulations on that.
That's a phenomenal
achievement. It really is.
I agree.
Oh, it is.
What's the title? What's the title, Tina? Give a shout-out to yourself.
The Season of My Soul.
Oh, love it. Sweet.
Yeah, I'm almost 70.
Oh, my gosh. That is so amazing.
Wow, I love it.
Way to go.
Yeah.
The other message that I have for you, Tina, is the seagull. And the seagull, it's a creature of both water and air. So you have an emotional component and an intellectual component. It links the lower realms with the upper realms, basically, is kind of how this totem functions. And so it's all about, again, creating your reality and recreating your reality. So you're definitely in a new building phase of your life. It's definitely time for you to start building the momentum in another direction and also making sure that anything that you're sensing emotionally that you should do, take some time and run those emotions up to your head and make sure they make sense up there before you go ahead and go through with it, because you're going to want to link those two behavior patterns together in the things that you attempt to do next. That's going to serve you really, really well.
Okay. Well, I was going to take, I have visions, but not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to take a course in psychic.
Oh, well, that would be really expansive.
Yeah.
Definitely look for a course.
So I don't like to do that, so I know what I'm doing. So I, you know, I don't hear, I just see.
You see? Nice. And yeah, for everybody it's different, you know. But yeah, definitely, and make sure whatever courses speak to you, make sure they're playing to both the intuitive component and a little bit of the logical component, because I sense that you're also somebody that likes really concrete details. So,
oh, I do. Yeah, I do.
So that would really be beneficial to you to have a class that really is not too freeform. You're going to want some structure in there with the intuitive.
Yeah. There's somebody I have in mind in New York City, so I thought I'd give her a try.
Oh,
for
very nice.
Psychic.
Well, it sounds like you're doing all kinds of amazing stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Well, you know, you're really doing great. I say keep your momentum going.
Okay. All right. That was a good rating. No, there's no more animals out there, are there?
That's all I got for you right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Tina.
Night. Bye-bye.
All right. Rock on with your bad self.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Wow.
I know,
very
right?
Accomplished. Oh, yeah, I love it. Yeah, this energy is definitely, it's so funny because it's sparking, you know, like two clear camps, the camp of expansive and expressive and, you know, what I would call the borderline of fearless. You know, where we're just finally going, enough of the fears, I want to get out and be and do and have whatever I want. And, you know, and then the other camp that, you know, they're batting down the hatches, you know, and they're stocking food up and they're building bomb shelters.
Yeah. that's just a really bad vibe to be building, you know. It's a vibe of not enough, and you know, really, how many of us have ever been in a situation, honestly, where our needs, our baseline needs, really weren't met?
I agree. I used to tell people, I know I won't be homeless because it's not in my consciousness to be homeless. I mean, I don't fear homelessness, and that's that whole law of attraction. Even though I understand many people, you know, I mean, the whole system's getting turned on its head because, you know, I also know people that, you know, like my father's saying, like their PhDs where they were making, you know, $150,000 a year, you know, with mortgages, living back at their parents' house because they can't get a job, you know, and you know, the world is
realigning itself. I kind of felt that word kind of there.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, to me, I look at it this way. I mean, I am very pro knowledge. There are problems, obviously, in the standardized educational system, which is beyond the scope of this show. But I am very pro knowledge. Let me put it that way. I'm very, very pro knowledge. However, beyond the education, beyond the letters behind the name, really. What matters, I think, is your competence. I think that is probably, if anybody's looking for an answer to what produces job security, really being a competent worker produces job security. Because, you know, there are a lot of people with degrees that come in and can't do crap, you know?
They're bumbling idiots.
Learn to be competent, learn to be on time, learn to do your job. Be reliable, and that is going to be your best insurance. It's not a guarantee, but life doesn't really come with any. And I think sometimes people are looking for a quick pat answer. Oh, if I just get this certification, or if I just get this degree, or if I just choose this life path, everything will be okay. Well, no.
Probably not.
You're putting all your eggs in that basket, you know?
Yeah, because there's no passion. There's no soul involved in their experiences.
No, there's not. And my goodness, you know, don't you want to live? I mean, like, really live and get out there and do stuff that's maybe a little risky. And, you know, it will be okay. You know, if all of us were doing what we were supposed to be doing, we have friends, we have family, we're all supporting one another. We've built our tribes, as it were, because, you know, we're primates. We function in a troop like any other primate.
Agreed.
It really will be okay. Go out there and do what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about speaking prosperity to others. And when you speak it to them, you change their vibration, and then they change yours in return. So.
Right on. Right on. Absolutely. I mean, and prosperity just goes deeper than just cash, too.
All about just the richness of life.
Exactly. Well said. Yes. In fact, it reminds me of there is this woman I just saw her recently at a Bashar event, and I was talking to a couple of friends of mine. We all know each other from a Unity church that I used to go to, and I was telling my friend, I go, this woman has been out of work for, I guess, since 2009. She was all it was all about the stocks and bond industry or whatever, and you know, she got laid off when all the, you know, the banks and all the insurance companies were, you know, going through whatever, that, you know, all that stuff. And I told my girlfriend, I go, she called me and asked, you know, if I would give her some money. Now, I laughed because, you know, people who know me, you know, like intimately know that, you know, I never have more than a couple $100 in the bank. What you were describing earlier is I'm very much, I own one thing, my car. I don't have a mortgage. I don't have toys, quote unquote, or, you know, I live very modestly because I want to follow my spiritual path without the stress and pressure of having to be someplace else to pay for something else.
Well,
so,
sure, because you're tied to those things once you take them on.
Yeah, exactly. But what was so interesting was I was talking to my friend. I go, she called and asked me for money because I've never exuded poverty. Because she really believes I have lots of money.
Right.
And it's because I am wealthy. I am wealthy going to the woods every day, and I am wealthy by becoming one with nature. And so we kind of laughed at that, but I went, you know, that's kind of the same thing we were talking about when you become one in the woods and the chipmunk doesn't see me. You know, wealth is something, and prosperity is something that has nothing to do with bank accounts. It's a radiance. It's a confidence that a person
is being and sharing. It's the ability to live your life. When you are living your life without fear in the way that makes you happy, how many people do you really? really think are happy that have to go to work and have to go to a job, and maybe the job pays really well, but they're stuck in a cube, stuck in an office, stuck doing something they really don't want to do, and they have to do that for 40, 50 hours a week and then come home and pay all these bills on things that they hardly even see or use because they're too busy paying for them. Do you really think that they're happy, or would they trade places with you? You know, if they could.
Yeah.
It's just that they've been told what makes them happy, and they haven't asked themselves what makes me happy, even if it's what society says doesn't.
Yeah, well, they're the gerbils on the wheels. You know, they're just feeding the mechanism, the machine. They're feeding the machine, and that's what I believe is going to be the greatest awakening, at least in this country, is the mentality to get off the wheel. Because, you know, we need to be connected again with nature. And I'm not saying, you know, you have to let go of your toys, but, you know, have some of your toys at least be out in nature.
Right, you need so many toys. You know,
well,
your sandblasts overflow with. Yeah, it's just a lot. You know, so
true.
You know, I know how you feel, and you know, my husband, he's I love him. He's my tech department. He's a computer programmer, and he loves
my
his
boyfriend.
Toys. You know, he does, but his toys, he needs them. So, you know, I kind of understand it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, no, and I, my boyfriend, I met him because he was my webmaster for a while.
Aha.
So, yes, he's all tech
around.
It is handy. I mean, we've got a smart house here. It's kind of funny the way, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, lights start going on, and think because he works where he has to be up there at 6. So,
oh, my gosh.
Waking
wow.
up and dimming the lights. And no, I think it's. I'm all good with that. Personally, though, I'll flick my light on manually. You know, just don't take my trees, don't take my nature, don't take my animals from me. I mean, but he feels the same way about his computer, and I honor that.
Yeah.
It is, you know, indeed. So I get that. I definitely get that. And but I did think it was funny the way she asked me when I told Patty how she asked me for money. She was like, "You're kidding me." And I went, "No, I guess I'm exuding that. What can I say?" All right, let me.
I'm giving her $5 and told her it was seed money. You know, be like seed money.
That's a good. I'll be honest with you. I don't resonate so much with her. I mean, it was more about be creative. You know, come on, reinvent yourself. You're not a stock and bonds person anymore. Don't continue to hold that title and then make your living by calling your friends and asking them for money. That's you're not
evolution.
Sustaining yourself. Exactly.
It's
in your
an evolution question. Do you want to evolve? And you
right.
know, that's why I think it's
exactly
a hard
right.
thing, because we are going through a bad economy, and that's part of the problem is people have done a certain thing for so many years, and even though who here goes out and buys typewriters just because we want to keep people in business that make them?
Right.
Okay,
wow.
So I understand there are industries going under, and it's sad, but I'm not going to, you know, perpetuate somebody making widgets if we don't need widgets anymore, because we as a society have to evolve, and that is not only holding them back from moving on and evolving themselves into doing new things, it's holding everybody back, because we don't want to change. We need to change, and it's good for people to stretch themselves and evolve themselves to keep pace with the changes so we all evolve together. I'm not going to sit here and go, "Oh, man, you know, I should have gone to the library more instead of Googling all that stuff."
Right.
That's just where it is now. You know, I mean, how many
right.
of us really go, "I'm not going to Google that. I'm going to go to the library and get a book."
Right. None of us do that.
We We have to be realistic
right.
about these things. You know.
Well,
and
what's so funny, right? We take technology and we adapt that, but when it comes to changing our behaviors in the world, then, you know, I see the people hitting the brakes going, "Oh, wait." You know, not
that's a
so
really
quick.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. It is. I mean, we want everything quicker, faster, better, but we don't want to change with it.
Right.
It's a huge problem. Yeah.
Well,
and really, if you look at most of nature, it's about change. I mean, the smartest, the quickest,
constantly,
the strongest
constantly.
Keep up, and the species evolve. And if you're not the smartest, the quickest, the fastest, guess what happens? You know, you're
going to die off.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not that nature is cruel. It's just that it's what's best for the greatest number.
Nature
so.
Seeks balance by its own natural essence. It's not a judgment. It just will constantly go back to balance. If it's out of balance, it'll try to go back. It's why I feel so great when I'm sitting in it. And, you know, I get that I'm in the woods, but, you know, you can get nature from a beach. You can get nature from literally, a little patch of grass outside
your
front
backyard.
Field.
Exactly.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's the intention to connect with her. And I really believe that all the changes that are happening on the planet right now, the best and most powerful place to be is in connection with the one that has sustained us for the last, you know, 200 million years, whatever this largest cycle is that's closing.
Mm-hmm.
She has been the one that has sustained us. Stay with Earth, you know, because there's going to be a bunch of other stuff happening from, you know, aliens in the sky and fear propaganda that's all going to be popping up, trying to, you know, vie for your attention and vie for your awareness. You just, this is where I'm going. I am sticking with Mother Nature, and I will walk through a portal that will, you know, bring me into the birthing of a new humanity, the universal human being, which is an actual being that doesn't have seven chakras anymore. Now we're talking one chakra, just a radiance of beingness. You know, I'm going to be
having
your own Jennifer.
Loving the moment. Just get all in there.
We should be doing a 3-hour show. Yeah, it's all good stuff. It is. All right, we don't have we have callers, but they've either already been read or they're just chilling. Can we do a read? I'm very curious to see what you get from me.
Well, sure. Why not?
Thank you.
I think after you being gracious enough to host everything, you deserve a reading. See what
wonderful.
The animals have to say to you.
Yeah,
so let's take a peek here. Let's see what we got.
Okay. And again, if a caller comes on, you know, I'll cut it short. We can either do it off the air, whatever. Meaning, I want the callers. They always have a. So everybody knows 646-929-2084. Press 1 if you want a mini reading. Okay.
I have something interesting for you, actually.
Okay.
You have a mythological animal. Happens every once in a while, in addition to two regular animals. But your mythological animal is the unicorn. That's popping up a little bit, which is similar to the horse in that it's all about freedom, but it's more on a spiritual level. So it's about indulging in your own spiritual freedom to be uniquely yourself, to be uniquely spirit, and then allowing that to trickle down on the other levels. Indulging your creative, imaginative, and magical side through some sort of artistic expression is going to be very important to you.
Mm.
And so that is something that's going to be becoming a focus if it's not starting to already. Obviously, you know, you're moving into something where you are going to need to express yourself spiritually through a visual medium, through some sort of creative medium. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can feel it, but I have a feeling it's video as opposed to audio. And, oh, boy, I'm going to need that unicorn to kind of stick me with its horn.
Right. Get you going. Prod you on there.
Exactly.
And then we have, following that up, we do have a little bit more of an earthy base, the camel.
Wow.
And the camel reminds, the camel, it's interesting because, again, it's a four-footed animal, so it's a very foundational animal. It's asking you that as all of this emerges, to trust that you have the resources to get through the challenges that are going to come with this opportunity.
Right on. Okay. Okay,
so,
that's deep. Yeah.
Yeah, don't get bogged down in a resource issue.
Okay.
Because, again, that's all physical realm manifestations. If you've already called it on a higher level, it's going to happen. Don't get bogged down on that because that just becomes a stumbling block at
right
that
on.
Point. Yep.
Right on. Yeah.
And then for a little bit of an intellectual overview, we have the cardinal.
Mm.
And the cardinal is interesting because the cardinal is a very unique song. We all hear a cardinal and we know that it's that bird. And they're very vibrant and they stand out. And so you're being asked to stand out. It's okay to stand out. Push yourself out there, further into the spotlight, more, you know, you need to be seen even more. You need to be very forefront, front and center, for people to see you, hear you, and experience what it is that you're trying to tell them. You need to be careful, though, as you're working on this, that the polarities of your spiritual pursuits and your physical pleasures don't become out of balance. That's just a cautionary note for you. As you're working on things that come from a higher realm, make sure, again, and I know you're doing this, so I'm not really too worried about it, but, again, I do bring it up. You're taking time to ground and center, recenter yourself. You know, take that time to earth to yourself as you should, and bring everything back into equilibrium on a regular basis, because as things become more intense for you in those expressions, it's easier to lose sight of that.
Mm.
And so that's definitely something that you want to, you know, make sure you're taking care of for yourself.
Right on, right on. I think I actually might have a little bit that, you know, I just go to the woods. I can feel the creativity wanting to express itself. You know, it's like it comes into my being, and it's like, and then it just kind of stops. And I, you know, I my boyfriend has a video camera. I'm like, I need to do YouTube videos. That's been kind of coming into my awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I'm like, oh, no, I don't. I don't necessarily want the visual aspect because, you know, I mean, I'm not at my physical societal best. I'm at my physical best spiritually.
You know, it's all about, few of us are. You know, it's all about accepting where you are in the moment. I mean, you know what? All of us have flaws. I am covered right now. I sit here. I am covered in squirrel scratches that have tanned up under the sun. I look like a wild woman that has been through the woods and the animals just attacked me, okay?
Right.
And I'm always covered in bruises because I'm outside a lot. I have my dad's skin, so that means I have sunspots. And in the summer, I look like a reverse Dalmatian woman. I have a little sunspot.
Oh, Jennifer, I can feel you, though. I know you're beautiful, I honor what you're trying to do for me. You are beautiful. You are beautiful in your scratches and your sunspots.
You know,
I mean, I got them too, I know, but they're calling me on the. I can feel it literally. I can feel my insides calling me and going, your next step is videos. I mean, that, because people have gone viral, and it's not that I'm going to go viral, but it's almost like I need to reach, you know, that there's an audience out there that would reach me through video, not through necessarily the radio. And you know,
and you need to answer the call. You know you do. See, I can hear you talking.
I do.
And you know you do, but yeah, you keep talking yourself out of it.
I know, because it's getting to the point where the woods are now. If I go too often, you know, the bugs are biting me. I'm getting, you know, mosquito bites, and where things used to be much more in balance. You know, that's when I was like, you know, it's no longer that I'm going there to balance myself. I'm going there, and it's becoming out of balance because I need to actively follow my flow, not just my ebb. You know, it needs to come out. And especially the shifting that's been released lately. It's like, I mean, that earthquake was, it was just a little shake, but energetically it's like, I mean, it released a tremendous wave of creativity in me. It's like, whoa. I mean, that's what I'm so grateful to have, and I haven't been nannying. What I would used to do is when I would nanny, I would express myself through, like, painting and arts and crafts just to energetically get it out of me. You know, drawings, paintings, stickers, building things, and I'm not doing that really a whole lot now either. So, I mean, it's like I'm becoming stalled and my body is physically going.
You have to wonder where that energy goes, because if it's not coming out in a natural flow, it's getting hung up somewhere.
Yeah.
And if it's sitting there, what is it bogging down, you know? It's like me. I was at a healing circle for a friend last weekend.
Okay.
And one of the people in the circle had said something about, well, you realize between your throat chakra and your heart chakra is the center of the self, which is where your self is trying to speak from, between your heart and your throat.
Okay.
And I didn't realize that. And I had erroneously thought I had heartburn for a week. And I'm like, maybe I should go to the hospital. Maybe I'm having a heart attack. I don't know what's going on. I'm like, maybe I ate something weird. Who knows what this is? And when she said that, a little light went on in my brain that I have been trying to speak to myself. And because I didn't really like what the message was because it was scary, I wasn't listening. And it was causing congestion in between my throat and my heart chakras.
Right on.
And that message from her, and she wasn't even speaking to me, it hit me like a ton of bricks, you know? And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I really do need to start doing this. And it's all about stepping further and further away from, for me, I'm very entrepreneurial. It's, for me, more and more stepping away from workaday world into my own independent workflow.
Right.
And that's very scary. We are in a recession. Call it what you want, you know?
Yeah.
It is very scary. But things that survive during tough times thrive during good times. So it's the best testing ground. It is the by far the best testing ground you could have if you're wanting to do something like that, is the tough times, not the good times. So you have to have a little bit of courage.
You speak my language. No, absolutely. I have courage in many things, but me and video, that is, you know.
Come on
boy,
now. If I'm going to take a leap. You got to come on out there with me.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it's time. I love my boyfriend, but because of his technology side, he tends to get critical on things. I need a much more...
gentle editor.
That exactly. I'm going to find one of my female friends that are, you know, it's like, hey, let's just, you know, set this up. And I'm thinking both of them, you know, because we all have messages. And I'm a firm believer, if I have something to say, it's because someone wants to hear it. You know what I mean? There's two sides of every coin. I've never cared about, you know, numbers or, you know, any of that. You know, if one person hits that they've listened to it, cool, yay, somebody's listening to my video. It's really more about at this point, yeah,
well,
like,
everybody has
just putting
different
myself
ways
out there.
Of getting that out there. It's like, I was really impressed with Tina. She wrote a book. Awesome.
At 70.
I could never write a book to save my life because I don't have that kind of stamina. You know, like, I'm not going to get through a book. You know, I will read a book.
Yeah, I don't write.
I
can talk a
book.
Right.
Yeah, or exactly. Yeah. Or poetry. I could create a book of poetry or a book of shorter things, but a whole book, you know, I just don't have whatever that gift is. You know, I don't. It comes out a little different for me. So, you know, I mean, but definitely, I mean, video, radio, art, you know, for me, it's the totems combined with, you know, I create jewelry that's basically like amulets or talisman, except for it looks like high fashion.
Nice.
So, you know, I mean, everybody has their own way of creating that expression that will tap into the human consciousness, whether it's with words, symbols, items, video images. You know, we all have it. It's just those media.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And this is really, I believe, because part of this is my belief system is, you know, without putting everybody in a frenzy, but this is, you know, these are my listeners. They mostly know, even though I'm sure there's some listeners that came because of you. But my belief is that in March 21st, 2013, the whole planet's going to go into a light body. So it's essentially, without fear-based, the end of the world. So part of me is really having kind of a time going, you know, do I want to, you know, what am I investing in? But there's a balance because it's about investing in the now. You know, it's about really sucking as much as life out of the now. And it's not that, you know, and there'll be new creations to come with this whole, you know, shift in consciousness and all that. But, you know, from a physical standpoint, exactly like you said, it's so funny. I have had heartburn for like the last 2 weeks. And I'm laughing because I'm like, I know it's telling, you know, stay creative. It's like I'm so in tune with my body. I know that as I was nannying less and, you know, going to the woods was nice, but inevitably it's like, no, where's that creativity? You know, where are you need to bring something through you other than just, because see, I being this has never been a problem for me. Sometimes doing this is my problem. So,
it's a little hard to get that train to leave the station.
Well, it's like I said, especially when, you know, I have a little bit of an expanded timeline that goes, you know, I'm not going to build a house when, you know, 18 months we're done. I mean, that really is, this is not just a, you know.
Unless you really just want to get a high out of building a house. So, like, if you were somebody that's like, I want to build my own
key.
House.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I want to build my own house. I'm going to do it. But you know what? You know, you could be dead tomorrow. So, I mean, it's moot, really. We all could just stop, you know. But at the same point in time, it's like, I'm doing this experience because this is an experience I want to have. You know, and really when you look at it that way, everything we do, it's sort of like John Lennon. There's nothing you can say that can't be said. You know, there's nothing you can do that can't be done. The Beatles were very profound. You know, I can all put some out of that. But, you know, it really is sort of like that. It's about what you want to do. So if you want to build a house, for goodness sakes, women, build a house, you know.
I don't want to go video. I like doing audio. But I'm also kind of hearing in my head right now that it's like, well, then do more radio. Because, I mean, that's another thing about Blog Talk Radio. I mean, I do a Thursday night show, but I could literally do a show every day. I mean,
wow.
it doesn't cost you any more. It doesn't cost you any less. I mean, I get a two-hour slot because I paid for a two-hour slot, and I literally can do that every day. And that's what I, because, you know, but it, you know, well, I got to work on this, but yeah, I need to just be creative somehow. And I keep saying, you know, just start booking shows. You know, I'm not working. Book shows during the day. Book, you know, call your friends. And I have several people who have said, sure, call me spontaneously. It's like, you know, and yet I'm not doing that. So I think
that's
a good moment. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, part of it is because I'm all focused, like, I've got to go to the woods. You know, I've got to, and I really don't need to do that anymore.
You're
as often as I did.
You're escaping to the woods, honey.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
To the woods.
Right on. You're right. Yep. You're right. Yeah,
oh,
right.
I know,
on
because
the...
I, you know what, I used to do that for years. If anybody could tell you that running away doesn't work, it would be me, because I have tried. You know, I have run many directions.
I have tried. I love it. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, completely honest about it, it solves nothing. So now I'm right. I'm sort of to a point where I'm just like, whatever it is, hit me with it, universe. Just hit me with it now and let's deal with it. Let's just go. And things are less painful that way.
All right, so you're not going to be surprised, right, if I, you know, shoot you an email and go, hi, Jennifer, we're doing a show in the, you know, the middle of the day?
Not at all. You know, Thursdays are my day off, so.
Oh,
if
you're well,
need
actually,
a Thursday person.
Yeah, no, well, I'll have you on Thursday night, so that, yeah, this would, because you can only do a show a day, so I wouldn't take away the 8 o'clock Thursday, simply because that's when my audience knows me to be here.
Makes sense.
But,
yeah, I'm more of a morning person, afternoon person. I'm an early bird. I pop out of bed, you know, when the sun comes up, which, by the way, is getting later and later. I'm sleeping in more and more. But that's, you know, just kind of how I am. In the summer, I'll pop up out of bed at like 5, you know, because I'm like, the sun's coming in through my window, and my bedroom window faces east. So I pop up.
I can also tell, though, your energy is I like your energy being awake during the day. You know what I'm saying? There are certain people that have like what I call, you know, the nocturnal energy. I don't feel that from you. Not that saying that you can't stay up all night on New Year's Eve.
No, I've done that. You know, it's called habits. You know, we all stay up all night.
Yeah, but there are certain people that I'm very happy, what I call it, I'm just happy you're awake during the day, because there's a presence about you that is clearly bringing in a balance. Because, you know, obviously during the day there's the most chaos because psychic activity is just maddening. You know, it's maddening.
There's a lot going on, for sure.
There is a lot going on, and most of it is fear-based. And, you know, I like when I kind of find, what I call an acupressure point. You are one of those points where it's like, look. You know, your whole body goes, that just feels nice.
It's really odd because I have found that just, you know, where I am, a lot of pagans like to be up at night, which I get it because the energy is great.
Okay.
But at the same point in time, you know, I follow the sun. You know, it's just kind of how it happens for me. And I'm up when the sun's up. And by the time, and the winter time, boy, it's rough.
A lot of darkness. Yeah. It's so funny. When I was in my drug days, I loved the winter. Now that, you know, I'm a woods person and I'm, you know, I'm sober and, you know, clear, I'm sun all the way. Bring on the light. Bring on the light. Yeah. I totally get that. 905, I see you. I see you, Dennis. If you want a reading, hit 1 so I know. Because we got 17 minutes left. You can still have a reading. I have a friend of mine that's on the...
I'm like, how do you know this?
Well, I know my friend's phone number.
Dennis.
Because I know his phone number. They show us the phone numbers, but they don't show us they don't show us people's names. All right, Dennis is on the air. Say hi to Jennifer, Dennis.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good. How are you, Dennis?
Well, I'm doing awesome. Thank you.
Oh, that's
Goldie,
good to
how
hear.
Are you tonight?
I'm good. You definitely get a read from Jennifer. She's awesome.
All right.
If you want to read me, that's fine.
Let's do a reading. Let's do a reading for you, Dennis. I like you already. How about that?
Awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
You seem nice. Let's do a reading for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see what comes up. Nice. Well, first of all, I'm just going to say that, and I mean this in a nice way, not in the way people say it when they just have nothing better to say. I know that came out really weird.
No, I love your straightforwardness. I love it. No, don't apologize. You're good.
One of the animals I got for you, Dennis, is the bat. And the bat is really unique because, of course, it's the only truly flying mammal. Flying squirrels don't really fly. They glide. So it is the only truly flying mammal. Basically, what the bat brings to you currently in this moment is it's telling you that you have an amazing potential and power that maybe you're aware of, maybe you're not, but even if you're aware of it, you do not realize the exact depth of what you have in the current moment. You have the power to transcend anything that appears at this moment to look like a failure or a hardship or a challenge and turn it into a limitless future potential. You are sitting on an energetic bubble right now. And you're in control of that bubble, basically. So it's basically a land mammal that can take flight. So that's really powerful stuff. I always, you know, the bat is something that comes up very, very rarely. You would think with it being kind of a common animal in this area, it would come up more often in people's totemic work. It actually doesn't. It's really, really rare. But that's some of the energy that is kind of coming to you right now. The question then really is, what do you want to do with that energy? Where are you in your life, and where would you like to point that? Because once you point your mind at something sitting on an energetic bubble like that, the whole universe conspires to make it happen with you. So you have to be very careful where you're pointing your mind, because sometimes people sitting on an energetic bubble like that have been through a challenge or a hardship or a moment of difficulty will focus on the difficulty. And the problem with that is it just breeds more. So really take time to think about this and digest it, because this is a really powerful thing that's coming through. You definitely want to be very careful about where you're pointing your mind, because that's the same area your energy is going to go. And again, it is an intellect thing, because the air is obviously associated with the mind. As a secondary thing, we're going to ground that a little bit, because we have the seal sitting there as kind of a secondary animal in your reading. And that's more of, because we're already dealing with, you know, the mind having the bat there happening. But the seal, it's a little bit more emotion. So it's not neglecting that. You definitely don't want to neglect that while you're working on all of this and utilizing all of this great space that you're in. And what the seal reminds you is from an emotional point, make sure you're being true to the fact that you need to do hard work that's inspiring to you, that's building a foundation, that's legacy work, not busy work, not, you know, mundane. You really need to be focusing on legacy work, because obviously there's something that you need to do that's going to have profound effects. Sort of like being the center of a web vibrating, it affects all the strands. You're kind of sitting now in your life at the center of a hypothetical web. And when you decide to vibrate and you put that hard work in and that focus, the whole web's going to move with you. You're sort of a nexus point right now, which is an awesome place to be, but it's a little daunting, because you not only affect yourself, but you really affect everyone that kind of comes in contact with you, which is good, but also it's kind of a lot to be asked to hold on to. You know, so with the sweet comes the sour, I suppose, with that a little bit. So, yeah, that's kind of what I have for you. I hope that's at least mildly helpful.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. I think you nailed me. Exactly.
I agree. That was awesome, Jennifer. Oh, that was awesome. That was so good.
Well, I'm so glad it was helpful. I'm always a little, you know, leery when the bat comes up, because most people are not quite ready to take on that kind of responsibility. And so it's always like, oh, good, we're live on the radio and the bat is right here. You know, so it's a lot, and I know it's a lot for you to have to hear. But, you know, you seem pretty grounded just from what I can tell over the phone. You seem like you have a good head on your shoulders, so I'm pretty sure you can handle it.
Well, Goldie and I have gone back for a little bit of time. And Jennifer, you got it.
Dennis, what's so interesting is the fact that you have, you know, this wonderful big bubble of energy, and I've got my creativity, and I think it's important for both of us. What I'm getting from this is both of us need to really start kicking each other in the butt and getting ourselves off our little,
yes.
you know, high stoops of living off the laurels and kind of getting into, well, our next big adventure, so to speak, big or little.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Just at least getting, because we need to encourage each other. That's, you know, that's what I'm getting. It's like, yeah, I know Dennis got it. Dennis knows I got it. Okay, well, we need to kick each other if we have to, even to the point of pain, and go get off the stoop and go create.
Well, you know, it's interesting you said that point of pain, because I had actually read a psychological journal that said change happens when it's more painful to stay in the constant than it is to change.
Exactly. Right on.
When it becomes
exactly.
more painful to sit where you are than to actually make that leap, you'll make the leap, and the change
right.
will happen. Yeah,
right.
So that's an interesting psychological concept that you were kind of hitting on there.
Yeah, because well, one of the things I've learned just through, you know, going through many of the changes in my life is don't be afraid of pain is not a condition that means it's going wrong. Pain is usually a condition that means I'm growing and, you know, the shell, it's getting tight. Exactly, like, you know, I need to get out.
Mm-hmm. It's a catalyst for sure.
It's a catalyst, right on, right on. Wow, that was awesome. That was an awesome read. Awesome night. Oh, I'm so going to call you back, just so you know.
Oh,
every time.
I hope so.
Oh, next month. Awesome. Next month, the 22nd, mark it. You're coming on the show.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll check to make sure that's not the right, yeah, I don't know if that's the right date, but I have two
you
days
know,
open
this
month.
You can always find me on Facebook and message me.
Yes, now, okay, so also, share where people, everybody can find you, emails, websites, phone numbers, however it is that
yeah,
you work.
Yeah, you know, I'm always around. I'm everywhere. My website, my totemic website is, of course, earthandpawtotems.com, and it's all spelled out, one word. And, of course, then, you know, I am on Facebook, Jennifer Adele, and my email, if you just want to email me directly, is jenniferadele@ymail.com.
Ymail?
Ymail is like Yahoo's version of Gmail.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so
oh,
Y,
cool,
Yahoo,
cool.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Why ask why, right?
Exactly.
Dennis, just so you know, I muted
answer.
You. Pardon?
Or you could ask why, but you might not get an answer.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think we always get an answer. We just might not get either the answer we want or when we want it, but indeed.
That's right there. Yeah.
So, wow, you're fantastic. Everything you've exceeded my expectations. You delivered. I'm
oh,
really
that's
stoked.
Good to hear.
Yeah,
I'm
no.
Like, let's do this radio thing and see what that's about. I hope I don't screw it up. You know,
no, not
out.
At all. Jennifer, I'm telling you, my instincts were right on. I mean, at some point, I'm happy for you to practice with me. But if there's ever a point. Which, you know, and you're the entrepreneur, trust me. The best part about Blog Talk Radio, you can do a show once a week. You can do a show bi-monthly. I mean,
wow.
I have a friend of mine who does it every other Sunday. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can do it as much, as little, but your whole essence is radiating right now, really. You're personable. And the readings, I mean, that alone would bring a level of attraction. And what I was going to say, too, is next time when we do the episode, send me pictures of your jewelry. I mean, I'll put you in the cheetah, but then I've got like four other slots. Let's put some of your jewelry out. I mean, it's a wonderful way to self-promote, to be quite honest. But,
well, yeah,
but,
that's true.
Yeah,
you know, and
I don't even have anything to promote, so I'm going to promote you, Jennifer.
Well, I knew I liked you.
but I really, and I'm telling you, you're just a natural. You are a natural.
Oh, well, thank you. Who knew?
You're
right?
Welcome. Yeah, so, well, we'll keep in touch anyways, but I if I had to pick a card, I would say, yes, radio show, I see a microphone in your future.
Yay!
Yay! All right, we actually still have 7 minutes left, so, you know, I was curious, too, what your information or whatever you share about the hawk is.
Oh, you mean just in general basic symbology about the hawk?
Well, you know about that. Exactly.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, hawks, it's interesting. Hawks and eagles actually share, I mean, they're not, obviously they're not identical in symbology,
right.
But they share a lot in common because, you know, they're both obviously aviary predators. They both rely on vision. But the hawk is more of a, well, it's more of a high-mindedness than the eagle. The eagle is a bit more illumination, which is sort of outside of the mind. The hawk is more of an inward. From the mind comes the illumination.
Definitely.
So
definitely.
One's more without and one's more within. The
okay.
hawk specifically relates to, obviously, vision, and that's not just physical vision, but that's visions about life, visions about the future, the ability to project out what's going to happen.
Mm.
So it's that type of vision. It's also rebirth.
Mm,
and a good example
really?
Of that is affiliation with Horus. So you have that
really?
Rebirthing energy
oh,
that has
right,
been affiliated with it.
Oh,
yeah.
right.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
So over time, and of course those cultures saw that because the hawk, you know, hawks were present in the daytime. They weren't present at night. They weren't seen at night. So it was that as the sun rebirths itself every day, the hawks come out. It's that same idea, that same concept of rebirthing, which is where, you know, a lot of that symbology for Horus came from. It's solar
no.
energy. Healing, of course, and again, you could also trace that back to Horus some too, which is why, you know, hawks are, and that's why hawk feathers are oftentimes hawk and eagle both, but hawk feathers are used in healing ceremonies for a lot of cultures. They're associated
yes.
with healing. Spirituality, it's that rising above. Hawks are seen
okay.
as rising above to higher levels, which are associated with the spiritual plane, with the ethers.
Okay.
Freedom is a huge one, and that one is also yes. kind of an eagle one, which is, you know, look at our country's animal, you know.
Right.
Our national
right.
emblem is the eagle, and it's associated with freedom. The hawk is the same. And actually, a lot of people considered hawks, especially red-tailed hawks, red eagles for a while. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot of correlation there that I kind of want you to be aware of, because if you're vibing a hawk, you might also really get a lot out of researching eagles. And like I said, the hawks come with the high-mindedness, that illumination, that awareness, that enlightenment that comes from within first and then radiates out, where with the eagle it's more from without first and radiates in, which is why they're associated with great spirit. It's that without, and then it comes within, and with the hawk it's the opposite.
Nice. That makes total sense. So, I mean, you're just, and it's so funny because the one word you didn't use, which is what I've always focused on, and that's why I'm so glad I asked you, the messenger. Even though I get that the seagull is also a messenger, especially with the what I heard tonight, what you were saying, with one of our
well, every animal is a messenger, which is why I lean towards keeping that out of the symbology.
Oh,
they're all messengers.
Right.
Everything is a messenger. Every plant, animal, everything is a messenger. And we're mm-hmm. constantly, whether we realize it or not, even if you're within a trance, to a certain extent you're sending and receiving information constantly with the universe.
Right.
We're constantly having this conversation, and it's ongoing. And everything is a messenger, and you're a messenger. The human is an animal, and the human is a totem, and we have totemic traits associated with us as well.
Oh, talk to me. What is the human totem? I've never heard that
yeah.
before. Wow.
Yeah, human totems, we're associated, with, first of all, with adaptability, agility, kind of like the monkey, creativity, building, development. We have a lot of positive things associated with us, but at the same point in time, we also have some negative things associated with us.
Cool.
Right. Selfish nature, destruction, complications, deceptions.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
several things are associated with us because to have that kind of complexity that comes with agility and the ability to build also comes with destruction and the ability to deceive.
Absolutely.
So we carry our own balance, and we have our own totemic traits like that, which, again, is also understanding that by saying you're an animal does not demean you. It actually helps us become one with nature mentally. We're understanding
right
that we're a part of it. It's
yeah.
not a demeaning, because why should we look at animals as demeaned in the first place? It's the exact question.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. All right, we're just about at the top of the hour. You're just fantastic. I could literally.
Well, thank you. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you for making it, you know, an amazing experience for me.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Listen, listeners, I know you love her as much as I do. Don't worry, she'll be on next month. We have Thursday slots, and I love it that, I mean, if I know you work Thursdays, that's when I'll book you in. And also, just so everybody knows, I am going to start popping up with shows during the week. Feel free to check the page, because even if you don't hear them live, you can listen to them on the archives. you know, especially, I mean, if I get a nanny gig, obviously, you know, that might, you know, go different. But at the moment, I'm getting that I am gainfully unemployed, and I need to be creative right now. So right on to Jennifer and all the animals that showed up, to all the callers and myself, and thank you very, very much. Yeah, I just love it. I love it when I have a gut instinct and it's right on the money. You gotta go with your gut. Gotta go with my gut. You're beautiful. It was effortless. It was a joy. And, you know, from first time guest, you're never quite sure. I mean, and then I was right.
Yay.
So, we'll definitely be hearing from Jennifer soon. Check back next month. It's going to be probably, I think, September. It's actually going to be this month, 22nd. I'll look on the calendar, but she'll be back. She'll be back. She'll be back lots of times. I love you guys. Next week, I screwed up in scheduling, so next week is third Thursday's Janine, because on third Thursday of this month is Sade Makera, my Cree Indian beautiful hawk sister. She'll be on the show on the third Thursday, so Janine is going to be joining us next week for our usual chat in the practical and, you know, what's going on with Mother Earth and with us. I love you all. Thank you so much for spending these couple of hours with me. Jennifer, you're just I'm your biggest fan. I'm so going to promote you. So
oh,
going to promote
you.
You're very,
that's
very welcome.
That's always appreciated.
Indeed. Rock on. I seriously do appreciate you. You rocked it. You just rock.
Well,
you're very welcome. And I will see everybody on Facebook, and we'll talk next week. I love you all. Take care. Bye.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute